Good day, amen.
Amen.
Beautiful day outside, God is good.
Lord.
Hopefully, you're like me, saved on your way to heaven.
Amen.
Everything's good.
Amen.
I don't know why, but I know he's got plans. I had other things in mind to preach. All week long, the Lord worked on me and said, no, we're gonna go here. So if you have your Bible this morning, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. And we're gonna talk this morning about putting things into perspective. Putting things into perspective in Matthew chapter 6. And we're gonna begin at verse 25. We're gonna read to the end of the chapter. And all of these are the words of Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 25, putting things into perspective, let's read the words of our Lord together, beginning with verse 25. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. Jeff, pray for me some word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you so grateful, Lord, you are our Father that takes care of us and all and everything. We pray, dear Lord, that this morning that the Holy Spirit move powerfully among us, that God, that you give us a deeper understanding in of your word, that our walk this week, Lord, will be closer to walk with you. We ask you to be with those among us that are Lord, not with us, and all Lord, be with them that are worshiping in your name in other places. And Father, we give you praise and glory for victory in Jerusalem. Peace will come in the world when you return, so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Putting things into perspective. When we do that, putting things into perspective is defined as looking at things in a new and different way so that we can see the true reality of the situation. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I do this, and you do it too. You ready? Sometimes, friends, we think we have a lot of problems, don't we? And sometimes, man, we think, man, my life stinks. And sometimes we think, boy, things are really getting hard for me. I've got it so bad. We all do that every once in a while. But you know what? Whenever I find myself doing that, I stop and I remind myself of what people are facing today in places like Israel and in the Ukraine. You think you got it bad? Go live there, okay? They've got a lot worse than we do. And then I stop and I remind myself of the persecution that my brothers and sisters are facing in other places, like, I'll just give you a couple, Iran and communist China. Okay, let me just be blunt. It is not safe for a child of God to do what we are doing here today in this church in places like Iran or in China. There are places where people don't have the freedom that you and I have to come and assemble together and worship together like we're doing here today. There's places in this world that if you do what we're doing right now, you can be put into jail, and even worse, you can be put to death.
Amen.
Guess what, friends? When I begin to look at things in that light, and I begin to put things into perspective like that, I realize something. I don't have any problems, okay? I really don't, man. God is good to me. And instead of complaining or whining or belly because I'm a follower of Christ.
Amen.
I've never been put in prison by our government because I've come to church. I've never been beaten for my faith. I've never had my life. Man, I've got it good. I really do. And I'm going to be honest with you, friends. So do you. Okay? But there are a lot of things that happen to us in this life that can help us to put things in perspective. Let me give you some examples. When your health fails, or when a doctor gives you a bad diagnosis, let me tell you something. That will definitely help you put things in perspective. Losing someone we love can help us to put things in perspective as well. Losing a job or having a severe financial difficulty can also cause us to look at things in a different light. And I'm here to tell you all something. I love all of you. I really do. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. There's some of you in this church a little bit high strung. Okay? There's some of you in this church just a little too stressed out, and some of you are too worried and too fearful about too many things, and I really believe you need to learn how to look at things in a different way and gain a new perspective on things. And for those times when we are troubled and fearful, the Lord gives us some very powerful words right here in Matthew chapter 6 that will truly help us look at things in a different way. And friends, I believe if we just follow the Lord's advice here, I believe we all live much more stress-free lives and much more joyful lives if we just follow the Savior's words. So what words of wisdom does Lord Jesus give us here in Matthew chapter 6 about putting things into perspective? Well, the first thing I feel compelled to tell you this morning is what the Lord isn't saying here, okay? I feel like I need to say this, what the Lord is not saying, okay? Several times in this text, I think it's three or four, the Lord Jesus uses the phrase, take no thought for tomorrow.
Amen.
Take no thought for tomorrow. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. Let me tell you what Jesus isn't saying, okay? He is not saying that we should live our lives in a way where we're careless about the future. That's not what Jesus is saying, not at all. The Lord is not saying live like tomorrow's never going to come. The Lord isn't saying we need to have this philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's not what he's saying. And he's not saying that we should be careless about how we plan for the future or that we shouldn't make any plans at all. That's not what he's saying at all. And I know this because if you go back to Proverbs chapter 6, let me read this to you. All right? And I read this. I like this. It says in Proverbs 6:6, the Word of God says this. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know what a sluggard is? We got a lot of them in America today. There's a lot of sluggards out here today that won't get off their tail end and do something. Okay? That don't want to work. That don't want... What I'm saying, I think it's in Timothy, if you don't work, you don't eat. Man, can you imagine if we adopted that philosophy in America tomorrow? I mean, there'd be an uprising, wouldn't there? You don't work, you don't eat. Well, that's what the Bible says. But anyway, he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise. So it's talking about the ant, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. You know what that means? It means all summer long, that little tiny ant is putting away so that when winter comes, they'll have something. Guess what they're doing? They're planning for tomorrow. That's what they're doing. Let me read the rest of this to you, though. Not only is it doing that, but God says this in verse 9. It says, how long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. He says, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as another man. You're going to come poverty if you're lazy, okay?
Amen.
You're going to have problems if you don't work. You're going to have problems if you don't plan a little bit for the future. That's going to happen. And when the Lord says, consider the ant, well, the old ant makes preparations for tomorrow, okay? That's just a fact. I'm going to take something. I think God wants us to do the same. Now, I have a friend. I've met a lot of people like this guy. He's getting up there in age, okay? And his current health makes it hard for him to work like he used to work. And over the years, I'm going to tell you something. My wife knows who I'm talking about. Over the years, this guy, how do I say it? He has lived well beyond his means. How do I mean? Well, he bought a high-end luxury car. And I said, well, it's just you and your wife, and y'all already have you. Why'd you spend that much money on that? He said, drive church. I said, you're going to spend $80,000 on a car to drive to church. Are you nuts? I said, is that all I can do with it? Yeah. drive your wife's car. I want to drive that car to church. Well, I know this cat. I know him real well. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to drive that car to church. Because he wanted to give everybody at church the perception that he's successful. He wanted to give everybody the perception that he's got a lot more money than he actually has. Well, guess what happened? He had a car by the year, and he found out he couldn't afford the car, and so he sold the car. And he lost a little money when he sold the car because he had to get rid of it because he couldn't afford it. I don't know what story he told people at church when he showed back up in the old pickup truck. I don't know. This guy, I know him. He has spent every dime he has ever made. And now he's older, and he confided in me here not too long ago. He says, I have $0 in the bank. Zero. How did you do that? Well, I know I did it. I've known him for years. He spent it all. That's why he's getting up to almost 70 years old and has zero money in the bank, because he's tried to live in this way and make everybody believe he's something that he's really not. And now that he's older, he doesn't have any money in the bank because he made no preparations for getting old when he was younger. And he's also come to grips with the reality that he can't live like he used to live on his Social Security check. You know what I think? I think he should have read Proverbs chapter 6 is what I think. I think when he was younger, maybe he should have saved a little money. I think when he was younger, maybe he should have made some preparations and planned a little bit better. And guess what? He wouldn't be in this situation.
Amen.
And I'm going to be blunt about it. He ain't got nobody to blame but himself.
Amen.
That's just blunt truth. I didn't do that to him. He did. I didn't spend every dollar he ever made. He did. Okay, and I'm going to be honest with you. I realized a long time ago I'm getting older, and there's going to come a day I'm not going to be able to work, and there's going to be time today maybe my health will fail, and when that day comes, you know, I want to be prepared for it. There might come a day I might die, and my wife be left on her own. I don't want her to struggle. So, you know, I've been making some plans over the years for these things, and my buddy didn't, and that's his fault. But you know what's sad? I've met a lot of people just like him over. When the Lord says, take no thought for tomorrow in Matthew 6, he's not saying that's how we should live. He's not saying that we shouldn't be good stewards with what he's given us, or that we shouldn't be making any plans for the future. Let me just say this, especially some of you that might be in your 20s or 30s or early 40s. If you're still working age, let me tell you something. You ought to be putting some money away for retirement.
Amen.
You ought to be planning on it, because Lord willing, you're going to live a while, and you're going to get old, and then you can get where you can't work like you did working right now. And when that day comes, if you're like this guy, just dying about ain't got no money, you're going to have trouble. What are you going to do then? If you're working age, the wise thing to do is save a little bit and put it away for retirement. It's called good stewardship.
Amen.
If you've got young children today, you might want to be thinking about maybe putting a little money aside to help your child go to college or a trade school when they get a little bit older. Friends, there is nothing wrong with that. And the Lord's words here in Matthew chapter 6 are not prohibiting us from doing things like this. So the Lord is not telling us to be careless where the future is concerned. Well, if that's not what he's saying, then what is he saying? Well, this brings me to my second point. That is what the Lord is saying here. Friends, when the Lord says, take no thought for tomorrow, let me tell you what he means. What he means is, you and I, as his people, we should not be fearful about the future. That's what it means. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. We should not be fearful about tomorrow, nor should we be worried about tomorrow. We, as his people, should in no way, shape, or form be troubled about what tomorrow may bring. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I am going to say this. I'm not going to lie to you. I watch the news. I read the paper. I see what's going on in the world today. And if the truth is told, it seems to me like the whole daggone world's going straight to hell.
Amen.
It really is. And I'm going to say this. It seems to me like the whole daggone world's on fire as I stand up here and speak. If I weren't a born again child of God, I might be a little bit afraid that might be coming in the very near future. And I'm going to say this. I've read the Bible. And I have seen, and I'm going to maybe say a few things going to hurt here a little bit, but it's the truth. I have seen how the Lord has dealt with nations that have done the very things that America is presently doing today.
Amen.
Friends, let's just be honest about ourselves. We like to say we're the greatest nation on the earth. Well, maybe we are, but if we're not careful, someday we won't be.
Amen.
Let me tell you the truth about America. Okay? We celebrate everything that is sinful, and we condemn everything that is good.
Amen.
We have killed unborn babies by the millions in America. We have parades in our major cities to celebrate people who are living a lifestyle that God clearly says is an abomination.
Amen.
As a nation, we have turned our back on God and His Word, and there are so many today that just do not seem to know the difference between right and wrong any longer.
Amen.
There was this poor little 19-year-old girl. I saw her on TV, and she's taking a lot of heat because she's dumb. Okay, she is ignorant. Let me tell you how ignorant she is. She has come out on social media, and she read a letter. It's called A Letter to America. You know who wrote the letter to America? Osama bin Laden. You know when he wrote it? In 2002, about a year after 9/11. You know what he said in it? He said that everything that happened is all our fault. And so this girl gets on TikTok, and she begins to spout off about how brilliant Osama bin Laden was. And she begins to spout off about how I read his letter and he's right. And you need to read the letter too and be enlightened like I was. And I'm thinking to myself, how stupid can you be? And then it dawned on me. She wasn't even alive. Well, honey, I was alive on 9/11. And I remember being at work and my wife calling me and saying an airplane flew into one of the World Trade Center buildings. Have you seen them? I said, no, I'm going to turn it on. And I remember watching. I watched the second plane fly into the building. I watched when both towers fell. I was alive when 3,000 of our citizens were murdered. I know the difference between right and wrong. And I know that was wrong. It was horrible.
Amen.
And then to turn around and say the guy that perpetrated it now somehow the hero. Have we lost our minds? So friends, when we look at the garbage being taught to our kids in the public schools, why are we surprised? When we look at the garbage being taught in our colleges today, why are we surprised that our young people think this way? But we have, friends, we have abandoned everything that is good, and so many today do not know the difference between right and wrong. And I am telling you, if something doesn't change in America soon, if we don't repent, if we don't turn back to God, I'm telling you, God is going to judge our nation.
Amen.
I don't see how He can't. Because we are doing the very things that other nations did that God judged them. And I'm going to tell you something. If He don't judge us for doing the very same things, He's going to owe those nations an apology. I'm going to tell you something. God's only going to let us get away with it for so long. If something doesn't change, we're going to have a problem. And then I look at what other nations are doing in this world, and I'm not stupid. I understand that a global conflict could break out today. Right?
Amen.
And it could be the likes of which the world has never seen before. Friends, this world is in sad shape. So is America. And you know what I'm going to say? If you look at things purely from the world's perspective, you're going to be afraid. You're going to be afraid. You are going to be troubled. You're going to have a hard time sleeping. You're going to be stressed out. Let me give you some advice. Quit listening to the world, okay? Don't believe anything they tell you on the news. Don't believe anything politicians say because they're all liars. And I'm telling you, friends, just be careful what you listen to and what you believe. And like we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning, test everything you hear against the Word of God, okay? You look at things from the world's perspective, you are going to have a very troubled heart. But what does the Lord say to these people? Lord says to His people, we have absolutely no need to be afraid.
Amen.
What did He talk about in Matthew 24 when He talked about the end of the world? He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we not hearing that today?
Nope.
But what did Jesus say? He said, see that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass.
Amen.
They have to happen. And if Jesus says not to be troubled, guess what? I don't figure I have anything to be troubled about. See, it's just which perspective you want to look at things through. If you look at it through the world's perspective, you're going to have a troubled heart. If you look at it from God's perspective, one takes on fear will vanish. And this brings me to my next point. That's why we don't need to be afraid. Okay, I'm going to give you four real good reasons why you don't need to be afraid of anything if you are a born-again child of God. Okay, a few weeks ago, I preached on Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, and I preached on what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, what was the very first thing Jesus taught us to pray? He said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Stop right there. Where is our Father? He is in heaven. Guess what that means? It means our great God is presently sitting on his throne. Amen? Isn't that an awesome thought that God is sitting on his throne? Okay, I'm thankful for that. And believe it or not, while he's there sitting on his throne, he's still firmly in charge of this world. He's still firmly in charge of his creation. Now, I know sometimes it looks like he's lost control, but he hasn't, because everything that's happening today is either happening by his divine direction or it's happening with his divine permission. But I promise you, there is nothing going on in this world today that God is not aware of. There is nothing going on today that is not beyond his control or beyond his authority. Amen. And the fact that God is still on his throne gives me every reason to not be afraid. And oh yeah, here's the second good reason why I'm not afraid. If God is my Father, then that must mean I am his child. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad today that you are a child of God? And as his children, guess what that means? It means that God the Father has us in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
Friends, he loves us. He has a plan for our lives. Amen. What did he say in Jeremiah 29:11? In Jeremiah 29:11, God said this. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let me tell you what that means to me. It means just because the rest of the world's going to hell don't mean I am. Okay? Just because the rest of the world's going to hell don't mean I will. I'm not. I am a child of God, born again, saved, and on my way to heaven, so much so, like, honey, I'm already there. God loves you and he loves me very much. And friends, even though there will be some things happen to us in this life that we may not enjoy, God says he is working in all of it for our good. And that tells me he ain't ever going to let me down.
Amen.
Tell me, friends, if that's true, if these two things are true, God's still on his throne, God's still in charge, God's still in a position of authority, if we're his children, if he loves us, if he's got us in the palm of his hand, tell me, friends, why would any of us ever be afraid of anything ever again?
Amen.
Why would we ever be stressed out about anything we face in this life? And then in addition to those things, the fact God's still on his throne and that I'm his child, he has me in the palm of his hand, I also take comfort and the fact that I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because even though I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, guess what? God's already there. He's already there. And he knows exactly what's coming.
Amen.
See, friends, so often I have to remind myself, I see little bits and pieces of what's going on. And often I react to those little bits and pieces. But you see, God sees the whole picture.
Amen.
God knows everything that is going on, okay? And because that's true, we can trust him. And then there's what Jesus said here in verse 32. He says, "For after all these things," you know, the clothing, the food, and that kind of thing, and the shelter, he says, "After all these things did the Gentiles seek," listen to this, "for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things."
Amen.
You know what that tells me? It tells me God knows better than we do what we need, okay? And he tells me plainly in many places, he ain't ever going to let us down. So friends, again, if all these things are true, why are we so stressed out sometimes? Why are we so troubled? Why are we so afraid? Why do we do this? I'll tell you why. Because we have this tendency to let the world influence us too much. We have this tendency to look at things from the world's perspective rather than from God's.
Amen.
God says we have nothing. So this brings me to my fourth point. I've got two more. You want to know the main reasons we're afraid? I'm going to tell you why. Okay, Jesus gives both of them here in this text. First one's found in verse 30 where he says, "O ye of little faith." When you start getting stressed out, when you start becoming fearful, there's a reason. Your faith is weak.
Amen.
Plain and simple. You're having a hard time trusting what God has said. And you're having a hard time trusting God's divine providence over your Because if you really trusted what he said, and you really trusted his divine providence over your life, there would be nothing upset you. Okay? It's just that simple. Okay? Give a little faith in that. Now, most of us know what God said, don't we? Most of us read our Bibles, and we come to church, and we go to Sunday school, and we hear the teaching, and we hear the preaching. Most of us know what God has said, but you know what? Then, when things go down, and things get real, what do? We often have a hard time trusting what God has said. We have a little faith in what the Word of God says. We have a little faith in God's providence over our lives. And because our faith is often weak, the devil has a very easy time instilling fear into our hearts. There's another reason, besides a lack of faith, that causes us to be fearful and troubled. And we see it in verse 33. Here it is, friends. This is one to walk on all of us right here. Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Well, here's a promise, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Hear what Jesus said? All these little silly, trivial, worldly things that are temporary that we spend so much time getting worked up about, worrying about, being afraid over, Jesus said, you put God and his kingdom first. He said, and he'll take care of everything else.
Amen.
Right here is a problem, friends. This is a big problem. So often, I believe we are troubled because we are not truly seeking to put first the kingdom of God. But rather, so often, we are seeking to put first our own will. Y'all remember in Acts chapter 9 when Paul, who was called Saul at the time, was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church? Let me ask y'all on that day, was he in the will of God when he was going to persecute the church? No, he wasn't. Whose will was Paul doing? Paul was doing his will. He wasn't interested in God's will. He wasn't interested in putting first the kingdom of God. No, Saul wanted to do what Saul wanted to do, and what he wanted to do was go to Damascus and persecute the church. But on that day, Jesus appeared to him in the way. And you remember what Jesus said to him when he appeared to him? He said, "Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks."
Amen.
And indeed it is. But you know what, friends? Whenever we leave the will of God for the will of self, well, friends, when we leave the will of God for the will of self, I'm telling you something, we are indeed kicking against the pricks. And the person who does this does it with their own peril. Let me tell you something, friends. I'm going to make you a promise this morning. There is no true peace outside of the will of God. There is no real joy outside of the will of God. The only thing that being out of God's will do is cause you a lot of turmoil and a lot of trouble and a lot of fear.
Amen.
And a Christian who has a troubled heart is often a Christian who is putting the will of self over the will of God. And a lack of faith in God and his word and putting the will of self over the will of God will always cause us to be troubled and fearful. Remember Peter when he saw Jesus walking on the water? Remember, he said, "Lord, can I come do that too?" And Jesus said, "Come." And old Peter stepped there beside the boat. He was doing real good, wasn't he? As long as he was looking at Jesus. But all of a sudden, Peter did something stupid. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to look at what was going on around him. And guess what happened? He began to sink. And what happened when he began to sink? He became fearful, didn't he? And what did he do? He cried out to Jesus. And what happened? The Lord caught him and saved him, didn't he? You see what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. He put his eyes on the situation around him. He began to sink. He became afraid. Guess what? God's people are still doing this today.
Amen.
We're still doing this today. And what about Mark 14 when the disciples were in the garden with Jesus? The second they became more concerned with themselves and their own well-being than they were with Jesus, guess what they did? They ran away in fear. They were afraid. A lack of faith and the will of self have caused more Christians to be fearful and troubled than anything else. Two big reasons, and they're given to us right here in Matthew chapter 6. And this brings me to the final point this morning, and that is what we need to do so that we can make progress in our spiritual lives. I'm going to give you two things, okay? The first one is not mentioned here in Matthew chapter 6, but it is mentioned in other parts of the Bible. And the first thing I'm going to tell you, you want to make progress in your spiritual life today, here it is. Let go of the past.
Amen.
That's the first thing I want to tell you. Let go of the past. Paul in Philippians 3, verse 13, said that we need to forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things that are before us. What did he say? Forgetting the past. I'm going to tell you something. Too many of God's people are stuck because they are too focused on the past.
Amen.
Too many of you, I'm going to be honest with you, there's too many of you, you're too focused on your past sins. There's too many of you, you're too focused on your past failures. You start thinking about something you want to do for God, and all of a sudden, the devil comes and gets in your ear, and he starts running, well, remember what you did back then? Well, God ain't going to use you now. He tries to convince you of that, but you get stuck because you get focused on how you have failed, and you get focused on how you have sinned, and then you begin to think, well, maybe I can't do anything for God, and then you get all troubled and stirred up, and then you're stuck.
Amen.
I found something over the years. Let me tell you what I found, man, and it applies to me as much as it does to you. Very often we pray, we confess our sin to God, and we ask Him to forgive us. And you know what happens when we do that? God forgives us.
Amen.
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, it says He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is not getting God to forgive you for what you've done wrong. The problem is getting you to forgive yourself. That's the problem. Too often, we just want to keep beating ourselves up over things that we've done in the past. Well, friends, let it go, okay? Because you can't go back and undo it. It's done. Another thing we tend to focus on from the past is how others have hurt us and how others have failed us. We have this tendency, and it's a tendency of the flesh, to hold grudges.
Amen.
I hate to say it, even the best of God's people do it. Even I do it sometimes too. But again, let's come back to the Lord's Prayer. What did the Lord say? He said that not only are we to pray for the forgiveness of our sins, but that we are to pray that we can forgive those who have sinned against us.
Amen.
We talked on Sunday school this morning about this, weren't we, Bryce? You know what happens when you hold a grudge? You know the only person you hurt? Yourself. Heck, I think sometimes we stay tore up with other people over things that happened a long time ago, and we get mad, and we get worked up, and we have this grudge in our heart, and I don't even think the person we're mad at even realizes we're mad at them. Yeah. I think a lot of times the person we're holding a grudge to forgot all about it, but here we are just throwing a fit mad because somebody did to us 5 years ago. One person you're hurting when you do that is you.
Amen.
The only thing you're doing is stagnating your spiritual growth. Friends, there's a reason the Lord Jesus in the Lord's Prayer taught us to pray, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. You know why? Because God knows how inclined we are to get mad and hold grudges.
Amen.
You pray that prayer every day, though, about, you know, Lord, help me forgive others. I found out real quick, friends, my problem is not God forgiving me. My problem is forgiving other people. But what did Jesus say here in Matthew chapter 6? It's back there where about verse 15. Talked about it here a couple weeks ago. Jesus said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of yours.
Amen.
I said this 3 weeks ago. I'm saying it again today. Your willingness to forgive others is just as important to God as His willingness to forgive you.
Amen.
God expects you. In fact, especially now that God has forgiven you of what you've done against Him, God expects you to forgive other people. But so often, we're stuck in the past, mad about stuff that happened 5 years ago that don't amount to nothing.
Amen.
Let me give you some good advice. You want to make progress spiritually? Let go of the past. Because I'm telling you something, the past often is like trying to run a race with a 500-pound weight type T. How far do you think you're going to get a 500-pound weight type T? Not very far. Guess what? When you're, as a child of God, just constantly dwelling on the past, you know what's going to happen? You're going to stay stirred up, troubled, and you're not going to get nowhere. So let go of the past. But in addition to let go of the past, the Lord also said we don't need to be worried about tomorrow either. What did He say in verse 34? He says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, God's like, worry about the day. Tomorrow work itself out when it gets here. If it gets here.
Amen.
Are you guaranteed tomorrow? I'm not. I may not even be here tomorrow, so it may not even matter why we're about it. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what do we need to do, friend? Well, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. You know what we need to do? We need to focus on giving the Lord our very best today.
Amen.
Well, there's an opportunity to do it today. Let me tell you something. The past is over. It's done. I can't go back. I can't undo it. I can't fix it. I can't remake it. Okay? It's done.
Amen.
Tomorrow may not come. So all I'm left with is today. And the Lord wants me and the Lord wants you to use today to give Him our very best.
Amen.
We'll make a promise of it. You give God your very best today and don't be worried about tomorrow. And then if tomorrow comes, you give God your very best tomorrow. And He gives you another day after that, and you give Him your very best on that day. And you just keep doing that every day God gives you. And you just don't dwell on the past and don't be troubled about the future and just worry about giving God your best now and make a promise. When you get to the end of the road, you will have lived a good life.
Amen.
You will have lived a life that God will be pleased with. And you will have lived a life that you're happy with. Very simple. Just give Him your best today. And leave tomorrow in His hands. Friends, if we just learn to do this, we'd all have a lot less stress in our lives, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Now, I know everything I've said this morning falls into the head of a lot easier said than done. Guess what? We still need to do it. Today, if you find that you're anxious or you're troubled or worried about anything, you're worried about what might come tomorrow, I want you to come. I don't only want you to just come to this altar and just tell the Lord about what's troubling your heart. I want you to say, Lord, here's this situation. It's got me all stirred up. It's got me all worked up. I'm stressed. I'm worried. I'm anxious. But God, I'm not just going to tell you about it, Lord. I'm going to leave it here with you. And I'm going to walk out that door this morning, and I ain't going to worry about it again. And I'm going to trust, Lord, that you'll take care of it in your time, in your way, and that it'll all work out the way you want it to. And I trust, God, that you love me, and you ain't going to let me down. And that's what I want you to do. If you're troubled about something this morning, that's what I want you to do. Come up here and tell the Lord about it, and then leave that stress with Him. And in the days and weeks to come, if you find yourself becoming anxious or fearful about anything, I want you to go back here to this text in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to read it again. And I want you to remind yourself that Jesus Himself said, you have nothing to fear. Friends, the Lord is still on His throne. You are still His child. He loves you, and I'll say it again, He has you in your life in the palm of His hand, and He says He is working in all things, that goes, everything goes on in your life for your good. Well, we only see a little piece of the puzzle. He sees the whole picture. You know what, friends, when we look at things in that light, gives us a new perspective, doesn't it? Now, you do what you want. You do what you want this week. You go home and you get on social media and you get on your computer and you read all the little stories that are on the MSN webpage and then you watch Fox News and you watch CNN and you listen to everything the politicians say and you just believe it all. And I'm going to tell you something. Come back next week, you're going to be the most stirred up, worried, stressed out person you've ever seen.
Amen.
But if you'll go home this week and turn a lot of that off and get in the Word of God and see what He says and believe what He says and do what He says and spend a little time in prayer and spend time with Him each day and believe what He says and look at everything through that perspective, I promise you something, your fear will vanish.
Amen.
Depends on which perspective you want to look at, and I'll take something. And when we put things in perspective, it helps us see things how they truly are. Let me tell you how things truly are. I am a born-again child of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am going to heaven when this life is over. This life is short. It ain't going to last long. And then I can go home. So I'm going to need to be stirred up about it while I'm here. God also said He's working in all things for my good. And you know what? I believe Him.
Amen.
I believe Him. And I believe He is my Father. I believe He is my child. Or I am His child. I believe He is on His throne. And I believe He's got this.
Amen.
And when I look at it through that perspective, I see the truth of the matter. Neither you or I have anything to fear. God's got it. careful which perspective you look at things. As we have focused on the world, we will be troubled. When we are focused on Him, we have peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the words of Jesus here in this text. And Lord, so often, Lord, we are exactly what Jesus said right here. We're so worried about temporary, trivial things, the things of this life, things about like what we're going to eat, what we're going to put on, what we're going to do. We worry about tomorrow. We focus on the past. And all the while, Lord, we waste today. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to look at things through your perspective, through your eyes. Lord, you told us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. Lord, I pray today you'll help us to believe that. That if we'll truly seek to put you first in all things, you'll take care of all the other things in this life. You said you would, Lord, and I believe you. And Lord, right now, if there's one here that's troubled about anything, I pray, Lord, they come and they would tell you, Lord, what's troubling their heart. And I pray not only that, Lord, they would leave the situation with you and leave it in your hands to solve it your way. And God, this week, as we're out there in the world, begin to find that our hearts are becoming troubled or worried or fearful or stressed out. Lord, I pray that you would remind us you are on your throne, that we are your children, and that you love us, and therefore, Lord, we have nothing to fear.
Amen.
And Lord, as always, if there is that one who's here today who's never made that decision to call on Jesus in faith for salvation, Lord, I pray that you help them to understand, Lord, they have much to fear by living without Jesus. Should they die today, they would perish in hell. And Lord, if there's one here today who needs speech, I pray this will be the day they come and make that most important decision before it's too late. Now, Lord, as you're speaking to our hearts, I trust that you will. I pray you would give us the courage to come to the altar and respond to you right now. And we would yield ourselves to you and allow you, Lord, to have your way in our hearts and in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory for all that you do, all that you're doing, all that we know you're going to do, Lord, and most of all, thank you for Jesus, who made salvation possible for us sinners. We thank you for that gift. It is His name we praise.